Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of what is your Thursday, September 26th, 2019. Yes, it is already Thursday. This week is absolutely flying by. A lot of excitement in the air here in East Lansing because as the weekend approaches, this weekend will mark homecoming weekend for Michigan State University. Homecoming is always a great time as MSU alum. They all come back and, you know, reminisce on what it was like to be a student here at Michigan State University. I know personally for me, it's really cool because, you know, a lot of my homies I went to college with, a lot of my fraternity brothers, they will be coming back and we just kind of reminisce and just partake in good times, man. It's always a fun time. Tomorrow will be the Michigan State homecoming parade. And let's hope for good weather. I did see out there that there's some wet stuff. And it's supposed to be coming from the sky, rain, that is, on Friday and Saturday. Well, let's hope that that forecast changes, all right? But nonetheless, regardless, Michigan State University is going to be on 20 this weekend, all right? For my season listeners, on 20 means it's going to be a great time. A really good time. All right, folks, it's Thursday. And we are also inching closer and closer to the weekend that will be in the world of college football as well as NFL football. The Detroit Lions in the National Football League will take on the number one team in the NFL, that being the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I teased this on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports and talked about how the Lions are going to lose. I'm being 1,000% honest with you all. The Lions have no chance against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. With that being said, I want to know how you view this game. How do you view this game? How are you grading this right now undefeated Detroit Lions team? Going against one of the most dynamic players we have ever seen in NFL history in Patrick Mahomes. I'll comb through exactly what I'll be looking for in that game. And yes, I am a man of my word, even though this is not going to happen. This is how confident I am that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to beat the Detroit Lions. I'm not being a hater. I'm being a realist here. All right, folks, I know this is how it happens sometimes. You know, the Lions give you all this hope. We're undefeated. Yay. And then the wheels fall off and you don't even make the playoffs. That's how it goes. And now you play the Chiefs. But I'm holding myself to my word. If somehow the stars align and by some crazy stretch of the imagination, this one comes to reality, that the Detroit Lions do indeed beat the Kansas City Chiefs, I will buy a Matthew Stafford jersey and I will wear it live here on the airwaves at some point next week. Okay? I'm a man of my word. Even though that will never happen because the Lions aren't winning. All right, I also want to talk about the transfer portal in the world of college athletics because, you know, the transfer portal has created some interesting conversations in the world of college athletics and has led to a lot of movement across the board in college sports. And I want to talk about the transfer portal because, you know, some news broke yesterday concerning a certain Michigan State linebacker who has decided to enter his name into the NCAA transfer portal. All right? So I want to dive into that just a bit, and I want to put some things in perspective when it comes to that subject. And we will have Throwback Thursday for you. I love Thursdays here on the show because, you know, near the end of the show, on the back end, we hop into our current sports time machine and we highlight whatever events happened in the world of sports history on that particular Thursday. So we've got some interesting events that took place on this September 26th in sports history. One that involves, well, I should say two, that involve O.J. Simpson. And one involving Mark McGwire. Yeah, remember Mark McGwire? I mean, the dude was just knocking home runs left and right, the whole battle between him and Sammy Sosa. Yeah, we'll have some fun with that later on, all right? So, as you see, a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below the live stream. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Alec Rio is the man behind the glass today. Here are your quick hit headliners. We start here with this transfer news concerning Michigan State football as MSU linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall has entered the NCAA transfer portal. That's according to 247 Sports. The junior from Battle Creek Central, he appeared in all four games this season for the Spartans, recording just five tackles. Players who have entered the portal, which was implemented by the NCAA, can be contacted by coaches from other programs. The player, though, can remain at his current school while his name is in the portal, and it does not mean that player can't remain at his original institution. So Boyer Randall, who redshirted in 2016, has played in 30 career games here at Michigan State University. He has had, 31 tackles, including six for loss, 4.5 sacks. He also forced two fumbles and recovered a pair of fumbles. Entering this week's game with Indiana, Boyer Randall was listed as the number two Sam linebacker behind fifth-year senior Mr. Tyreek Thompson. So we'll see how that story plays out. But it has been confirmed, according to 247 Sports, that Brandon Boyer Randall is now in the NCAA transfer portal. All right, obscure rumors were circulating on social media about a new face manning the ship for U of M's football program if indeed Jim Harbaugh does leave the program or is fired after this season. And we even debated this a bit on yesterday's Current Sports as we delivered you the odds, according to Vegas, of if indeed Jim Harbaugh is not the head coach next year for the program, who was going to be the odds of who is going to be the replacement for Harbaugh, and Urban Meyer's name was being bet on. But
what?
Yeah, crazy stuff, right? Never going to happen. But these rumors might have kept you up at night, some. But if you're smart, no. Wondering about the response. Urban Meyer quickly put to bed those rumors, saying, quote, "No, that's not going to happen." That's a direct quote coming from Urban Meyer, as he told WBNS Radio in Columbus, Ohio, this information yesterday, and is also tied up currently working at Fox and the Big Ten Network as a college football analyst and also as an administrator at OSU. So, again, this comes 2 days after Harbaugh fell to 8-11, 8-11, folks, against ranked opponents and 1-6 on the road with a 35-14 loss to Wisconsin. BetOnline was the website that released those odds for Michigan's next coach if Harbaugh is not back come in 2020. Meyer, who was 7-0 against the Wolverines before retiring in 2018, he was listed at 7-1 odds behind four others, those being Stanford's David Shaw, Virginia's Bronco Mendenhall, Utah's Kyle Whittingham, and Syracuse's Dino Babers. So we'll see how this whole thing plays out, but there's no doubt about it. Jim Harbaugh's seat is a little hot right now, to say the least. All right. The Michigan State women's volleyball team suffered a 3-0 loss at number 5 Penn State yesterday in the Big Ten opener for both teams. The Spartans fall to 9-2 overall this season, while Penn State improves to 8-2. MSU suffered from its toughest hitting night of the season, finishing with a season-low 126. Penn State outblocked MSU by a 9-6 margin. Both teams struggled from the service line. MSU had 12 errors, PSU had 9, and Penn State hit 258, the second best for a Spartan opponent. MSU was led by 10 kills and 6 digs from junior Meredith Norris, and 7 kills, 4 blocks, and an ace from Rebecca Poljan, who hit 417. Lauren Swartz had 6 kills and 4 digs. Johnny Parker finished with 16 kills, 2 aces, and 3 blocks for Penn State. And setter Gabby Blossom had 28 assists and 8 digs. The Spartans will now play their Big Ten home opener come this Saturday when they will play host to Maryland. That will be an 8 p.m. start time. All right, Detroit Tigers fans, they did it. They are number one. Yeah, just think about that for a second. Number one. In the placement for next MLB draft.
Shazam!
Yeah, the number one overall pick goes to the Detroit Tigers, who last night lost to the Minnesota Twins 5-1. That means they have the MLB's worst record, and they will pick number one overall in the 2020 MLB draft for the second time in 3 years.
Thanks, big fella.
Yeah, that's really bad. In 2017, they finished last in baseball and wound up taking Casey Mize with the first overall pick in the 2018 Major League Baseball draft. The last draft earlier this year, don't forget the draft takes place in the middle of the season, they drafted slugger Riley Green. He was widely considered to be the best hitter in that draft class, just another chess piece added to the Tigers' rebuild. And only time will tell how well the scouts did when it comes to their homework and these picks. So the Tigers have the number one overall pick in the 2020 MLB draft. All right. If you're looking for some good news, any good news, other than the Detroit Lions, when it comes to Detroit professional sports, this isn't your day, though. The Red Wings fell to the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-2. Veteran defenseman Mike Green and young gun Ryan Kuffner notched a goal in losing fashion, and goalie Jonathan Bernier, he recorded 28 saves on 32 shots on goal, as the Red Wings are now 2-2-2 on the preseason. It's just preseason hockey here, folks. The next game is back at Little Caesars Arena tonight at 7 p.m. against the Stanley Cup champs, the St. Louis Blues. Catch that game, of course, on Fox Sports Detroit. And Detroit Lions safety Quandre Diggs is keeping it real. He has watched, just like many of us, Kansas City Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes for a while, and he believes if Mahomes continues at his current pace, he might be at the top of multiple NFL all-time lists by the time that he retires. That even means snapping marks that could end up being held by the quarterback he believes to be the best in NFL history. This is what Diggs had to say concerning Mahomes. Quote, "To me, Tom Brady is going to be the best ever for my whole life. That's just how it is. But the way Pat's going, he's going to break every record in NFL history if he keeps this up." He goes on to say, quote, "I love it, though. A Texas guy, and I always brag about Texas football in here, so you know I'm cool with that as long as it's not against us," end quote. Anything Mahomes gets this weekend will be against Diggs and the Lions, who will face him for the first time. Since the start of last season, Mahomes has thrown for 6,292 yards, 60, count them, 60 touchdowns, with a passer rating of 117.3, 9.07 yards per attempt, all tops in the NFL over the past 20 games. That's just insane. Those numbers are numbers that I put up on a nightly session during Madden NFL 20. That is not
on like rookie mode or something.
Nope.
You know,
it's like
when you're trying to stat pad with your creative player. He goes insane. His overall hops up to like a 98. That's just how it is.
I'm just that good at the game, Alec. I'm that good, man. See me on the sticks. All right, add me on Xbox One, Al0770, and you can get this work. All right. and last but not least, well, second to last but not least, Tom Brady. Who is the GOAT? We all know. At 42 years old, and looking at Tom Brady's resume, he is the GOAT, the greatest quarterback to ever do it. He has managed to stave off the aging process really better than pretty much anyone in football history. He still plays like he's much younger than he is. He puts up numbers that guys 15 years younger would be envious of. But the Patriots QB isn't impervious to the unceasing march of time. He knows that it takes longer for him to recover week to week and makes his body more fragile. Neither he nor the Patriots can reverse it, but they can manage it. And according to ESPN, Brady has been limited in three of the Pats' last four practices, protecting that 42-year-old body. That is the big reason he has been able to play as long as he has. This is what Brady told ESPN yesterday. Quote, "Football is a contact sport. I wouldn't say I'm a spring chicken anymore. I'm just trying to feel as great as I can, and we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But I feel pretty good." So limiting Brady's practice time isn't the only thing Coach Bill Belichick is doing to keep his franchise QB in tip-top shape. ESPN reported that signing backup QB Cody Kessler is part of what Belichick referred to as roster management. So that was a little bit surprising to many when you saw that headline earlier this week concerning the Patriots signing Cody Kessler. But again, if anything does, hopefully it doesn't. I love watching Tom Brady play. If anything does, though, happen to the GOAT, you got to have some kind of security blanket. So, and last, but certainly not least here, some very sad and unfortunate news breaking yesterday afternoon. As longtime mixed martial arts flyweight veteran, the great Katie Collins, has sadly passed away at the young age of 32 years old. Following complications from last week's brain aneurysm that left her hospitalized in Missouri. Collins is survived by her two sons. This is what her coach, JT Tilly, this is what he wrote on Facebook. Quote, "The fight is over. You never stop fighting. And we never gave up on you. Just wasn't in the cards. I've always been so proud of you, Kate. We did it. I was honored to be able to live your dream with you. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I will miss you more than the world will ever know." In the career of Katie Collins, she is a woman who amassed a 7-5 record in professional cage fighting after racking up nearly a dozen fights in the amateur circuit. Red Dragon was her nickname. She is perhaps best known for her 2-1 stint, 2-1 stint, I should say, under the Bellator MMA banner before transitioning to Legacy Fighting Alliance, where she last competed in June of 2018. But again, Katie Collins passing away at just the age of 32 years old. All right, to less important matters, as we roll along here on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, you can weigh in by picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there. Comment below that live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Hartman, the motion man, on 2nd and 9. Mahomes feeds, hits McCoy. McCoy, the acceleration touchdown, Kansas City. The catch and run by McCoy.
Let the defense come at the quarterback. Look at the convoy out in front. And Shady really doesn't need anybody.
Damian Williams, and now Darryl Williams, and the possibility of Darwin Thompson, rookie out of Utah State. Mahomes, 3rd and 9. Mahomes, pump, throw underneath, caught by Williams. Darryl Williams, oh, he's got it! A first down! And that'll do it.
All right, folks. Happy Thursday to you all. And what you just heard was a bit of what Patrick Mahomes did last week against the Baltimore Ravens. And in all fairness to Baltimore, I really thought they did an amazing job in that game. You know, because if you look at what the Chiefs have been doing throughout this season, it has been quite remarkable. And for the Ravens to only lose by 5 points, a 33-28 final against the Chiefs with the way they're playing, that's pretty good. And I was impressed with Lamar Jackson, who has been so good this year. You know, and prior to that game, I mean, you know, they blow out the Ravens. The Raiders, 28-10. They beat the Jaguars 40-26. Now, also, the Jaguars and the Raiders aren't necessarily world beaters. In week one, looking at that game against the Jaguars, I mean, sheesh, it was just Patrick Mahomes just putting on a show. If anything, though, when you look at what the Ravens were able to do, first off, Lamar Jackson, he pulled off some great heroics in that fourth quarter. There were some plays that Lamar Jackson pulled off that were like that you just can't replicate. The Lions won't be able to replicate the play of Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry, but Matthew Stafford is not Lamar Jackson. So with that being said, and, you know, I have to look up what the – I can do that right now, actually. Look up what the line is right now. It's actually closer than I thought, a lot closer than I thought. Right now – the Lions are 6.5-point dogs in this game. I really thought it was going to be double digits. I'm quite surprised at that line. I think maybe people are looking at the Lions being 2-0-1, being undefeated, looking at, you know, the win against the Philadelphia Eagles, even though the Eagles had some key injuries on that offense. Some key players were gone from that offense, most notably for me. You know, looking at Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. And a lot of drop passes in that game. Regardless, the Eagles are a pretty good team. Still got Carson Wentz behind center. And the Lions were able to pick up that win. Then you beat Phillip Rivers in a very close 13-10 win. I think a lot of people are looking at those two scores and the fact that the Lions are still, you know, undefeated. Should be 3-0. If it wasn't for, you know, that fourth quarter collapse leading to the Cardinals coming back, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals coming back, should be 3-0. And people are saying to themselves, okay, maybe the Lions do have some shot in this game, but no, I'm not one of those guys. I do believe that Vegas, for the most part, knows what they're talking about. You know, those lines are set due to what the public, you know, first off, they're set by the respective sporting books, and then the money comes in based on what the public thinks is going to happen, and that line moves based upon that. And I think there are a lot of educated sports fans out there, and I think Vegas knows what it's talking about for the most part, but sometimes Vegas is wrong. All right? Vegas trying to get some moolah. All right? Are you going to be the one to look at that carrot and say, all right, well, maybe I'll take the Lions here. Why not? Don't be that guy. It's fool's gold. it's fool's gold. So for me, when looking at, you know, this weekend's matchup between the Lions and Chiefs, you know, I'm really shifting at the way I look at it because I already believe that the Lions are going to lose. And I just don't know how this defense, and this is the money question, not just for the Lions this week, but for any team who plays the Kansas City Chiefs. I just really don't know how you slow down Patrick Mahomes. That's the big question. I mean, if you blitz him, he's so smart that he's going to find the open man, and he has such a quick release. And also, if depending on where you blitz him, he can also use his jets and you know, cut the corner on you. And if you drop back in coverage, he's going to find a way. He's so good, and these receivers are so fast on this team as well. He's going to find a way to get the ball to somebody. So I don't know. I think the Lions certainly are looking at that film, that physical matchup that was last week against the Baltimore Ravens, and are going to try and duplicate a little bit of what they were able to do. But it's tough. It really is tough. I don't know. I don't know how you slow down this team. And I'm curious to get the thoughts of the public here, your thoughts, especially Lions fans out there. I mean, how are you approaching this game? I mean, because I believe that if the Lions are just competitive here, if they do lose by six, I'll even say this, if they lose by anywhere from six to 10, maybe even, I may even say 15, that's a win. If that Lions defense can man up and make it even that close, I will be somewhat impressed. Now, I also want to note, you know, I saw the health of Darius Slay is a bit of a problem because, you know, Darius Slay, he has been limited in practice this week. Also want to note that Mike Daniels and Danny Amendola, they have missed Lions practice this week. So that's going to be a problem, especially if I mentioned the quote from Quandre Diggs. You know, he's a key component to that Lions defense who is going to try and slow down Patrick Mahomes. Darius Slay, he needs to be out there. If there's a chance that Darius Slay can play, I will put him out there just to try. Give it a go for a series or two. And if Darius Slay just can't keep up with these receivers, I will bench him. It's not worth it. Not worth it. But it is quite amazing, though, because Mahomes is completing 71.9% of his passes. 71.9% of his passes for 1,195 yards, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions through 3 games. Amazing. One advantage that the Lions will have, though, and this is the thing, I mean, Lions fans, you got to go out and support this weekend. You got to make it a ruckus crowd. You have to make Ford Field a hostile environment for the Chiefs because you have that advantage. It's rare when you have any advantage against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, but you will have home field advantage. You got to utilize that. You got to make it a loud environment. And I've never heard an opponent come into Ford Field and say, "Oh my gosh, it was so loud in there. I couldn't hear." You just don't hear that. I would love to see Lions fans just insane in the membrane from quarters 1 to 4 just to try and throw Patrick Mahomes off. So I would love to see that. And you know, we'll also, another matchup I'm going to be looking at is how Lions defenders match up against Kansas City Chiefs all-pro tight end Travis Kelce, because he is one of Mahomes' favorite targets as well. And among those who will be matched up against Kelce will be second-year safety Tracy Walker, who I must admit, when watching that game against the Philadelphia Eagles last weekend, I was very impressed with what Tracy Walker was able to do when he was matched up against Philadelphia Eagles Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz. That was fun to watch. He was very aggressive and just he bothered Ertz a little bit. And that took away a key target. target for Carson Wentz, who was dealing with an already beaten up offense. So another thing I'm going to be looking at, how do I view this game? Again, I'm not going to be more so looking at the scoreboard until the end of the game, but how the Lions compete against this team. Another thing that I really loved last week that the Lions did very well is protecting Matthew Stafford, which is something that you rarely hear after a Detroit Lions Sunday. Oh, they did a great job protecting the quarterback. What? No, that never happens. But if you want to have a shot at the Chiefs, that offensive line is going to have to do and duplicate the job that it did against the Eagles on the road last week, keeping Matthew Stafford's jersey clean for what really would be a third straight game if they can do that. With the exception of the Cardinals game, Matthew Stafford has had some pretty good protection. That's going to be very important if you want to have a chance against KC. So the Detroit Lions offensive line actually has not allowed a sack in their last two games. And they've been physical. So when it comes to the Chiefs, how has Patrick Mahomes been able to just carve up defenses on a weekly basis? Well, there's just speed all over the field. And you know, this Chiefs team is not skipping a beat in that department with, of course, Tyreek Hill dealing with that shoulder injury, with him being out of the lineup, because Chiefs rookie wide receiver Mecole Hardman, he's been filling in for Tyreek Hill, and he was the third fastest ball carrier in the NFL last week. They clocked him at 21.74 miles per hour during his 83-yard touchdown reception versus the Ravens. Guys, do you have any idea how fast that is? 21.74 miles per hour? Mahomes told ESPN this last week, quote, once the ball gets in his hands, it's like the Tyreek effect. It's just about over. Hardman actually, in the NFL scouting combine, you know, when they clock you in the 40, Hardman ran a 4.33 in the 40-yard dash. Who's going to keep up with that? You would think a guy like Darius Slay is going to be the guy matched up against him, but Darius Slay is already banged up. I just don't know how you try to slow down a guy like Hardman. I don't know. That's freakishly fast. I think looking at these past 2 weeks for the Lions, I think that Lions offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel has done a really good job. He's mixed it up a bit. He's allowed Matthew Stafford to chuck it down the field but not get crazy with it. There's been really good balance. And that's the thing, too, I'm going to be looking at. Is there balance to this Detroit Lions offense? Kerryon Johnson, give that man the ball. Trust that that offensive line hopefully can open up holes for him. They play really well, with the exception of the game against the Arizona Cardinals. I've been very impressed with what that Lions offensive line has been able to do. The Lions playing the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era. I don't know. When looking at this Chiefs team, it just seems like they are playing on an entirely different level right now. I mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports how Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they kind of remind me of what the Golden State Warriors, what they were doing when we first saw Steph link up with Klay and Draymond and company. In that new brand of basketball, I think we're really starting to see a new brand of football right now. And it's hard to duplicate, because just like the Warriors, not everybody has a three-point shooter like Steph Curry, who can shoot a three from the logo. Not everybody has a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who is so dynamic, so accurate, who can throw no-look passes, who can kill you with his feet, who is incredibly smart, who is a leader. Not everybody has all of that in one package at quarterback like the Kansas City Chiefs do. Just like with the Warriors. And the Warriors had not just one guy who can shoot from the logo, but Klay Thompson could do that as well. There's so much talent on this Chiefs team. And then you add in the fact that Andy Reid, that play-calling system that he has with the offense, I think it's changing football right now. It's a high-powered, you know, just drop back and chuck it offense. But it's not like it's, you know, it's crazy. There's some organization to it. You know, the plays that are called, set up those receivers who are so fast, set up those receivers to a T. And Patrick Mahomes has the arm to deliver that football right on the money. They are a hard offense to stop. I think you can score on that defense. Defense still needs some work. But if you can't slow down that offense and you get into a shootout against the Kansas City Chiefs, you are going to lose each and every time. Alec, I'm going here. I'm going to give my prediction early. Why not? I'm going to give my prediction here in this game. Lions 21, Chiefs 41. Chiefs beat them by 20.
Okay. Mine's a little bit less than that. I think that they're going to make it now 25 straight games of scoring 25-plus points. I think it's going to be a score of 34-17. And if you plan on starting the Lions defense in fantasy, you're going to have a rough week, and I don't know why you're even thinking of doing that in the first place. But, yeah, like I just mentioned, they're on a streak of 24 straight games of scoring 25-plus points, which is a current NFL record. And Patrick Mahomes is the real deal. He's you'd love to know this. He's the fastest player to reaching 99 overall in Madden. And his and his lowest amount of yardage in a game so far this season is 347 yards with at least 3 touchdowns in each game, and he hasn't thrown an interception yet. So the Lions are going to have to obsessively look at film to maybe even consider stopping him. Now, another thing that you had mentioned was Travis Kelce and LeSean McCoy on Sunday. Kelce's size and speed, they make him a headache for defensive coordinators, and if you put a small body with speed on Kelce, it'll end up Kelce just mossing him left and right. But if you put a big body on him who might be slightly slower, that defender will be eating the turf instead of dust behind Kelce. Now, LeSean McCoy signed earlier this month by the Chiefs off the Bills. He's battling an ankle injury, and he missed practice on Wednesday, and that's going to be a huge factor. And
I didn't know. Hold on. Shady has an ankle injury?
He's battling that right now.
That's good news for the Lions.
Yep.
You never want to see anybody injured. I don't advocate for injuries. It's not what we do. But if you're a Lions fan and you read that headline, that's pretty big. Now
it's pretty big.
Hopefully it's not. I mean, if it's not anything too serious, then I don't think it will be that much of a factor. But again, when you talk about a running back having an ankle injury, that's how they make their cheese, running the football. And Shady's so good. He's such a good player. All right, okay.
Yeah, and he's currently rehabbing his ankle enough to maybe be able to perform. That's what Andy Reid said when he was asked that yesterday. So they're just taking it slow right now, baby steps, just to make sure that he doesn't tweak anything before Sunday. But, you know, with an offensive mind quite like Andy Reid's, you know, defense is important to him, but, you know, he's more focused on the offensive standpoint, and, you know, that's created a great amount of success for him. And, you know, the Lions are going to have quite the test come Sunday.
They're not winning.
I don't think so either.
They're not winning, man. It's going to be the thing is, in a game like this, I always say when you're tremendously overmatched and you have no chance, but some would argue that, hey, Al, it's sports, man. Anybody has a chance. It's sports. Anything can happen. I just think this KC team is so good, so dynamic, unlike any offense we've ever seen in NFL history. I don't see how the Lions even have a shot in this game. So, with that being said, the way that you evaluate a game like this has to change a bit. Do the Lions do the little things? Do you protect the quarterback? Do you have good run balance? Your run-pass balance in that game? Does the defense make a few good plays? Maybe somehow, some way causes a turnover. If they get one turnover, that's a huge win for that Detroit Lions offense against that KC. Detroit Lions defense against that KC offense. So we'll see what happens, but I think they have no shot. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Alec?
One other thing is that this is the first time, actually, Patrick Mahomes is playing indoors.
Don't you think that bodes well for a man who's already putting up video game numbers in rain and snow and sleet and hail? You put him in a dome?
Oh, I know.
And it's going to be even worse.
I know. He's like, I've played indoors a couple of times, and I mean, it feels just like any other football game, end quote. So, I mean, there's no home field advantage, at least in the mind of Mahomes, and scares me.
You're putting arguably the most talented quarterback we've ever seen in NFL history, who's played outdoors, throughout his the infancy of his NFL career for the first time indoors. Come on, man.
That man could play through natural disasters. I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
He's that good.
He's that good, man.
All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about the NCAA transfer portal. I'm bringing this conversation up because if you have not heard, Michigan State linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall, he has entered his name in the NCAA transfer portal. He is testing the waters a bit. I want to talk about the transfer portal and whether or not it's good for college athletics, especially when a season already gets underway. All right? So we'll have that convo and more. You are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Right, shout out to Alec Rio, man behind the glass on this Thursday edition of Current Sports. This weekend is homecoming weekend, so you led us into that first break with Kanye's homecoming, right? And Drake's I'm coming home.
Just hold on, we're going.
Just hold. That's such a long title. The whole
I know.
The whole track is the whole name of the song is called "Just Hold On, We're Going Home."
Yep.
It's so long. You just say we're going home, man.
I know.
Even a better track name for it, but yeah. Because it's homecoming. Homecoming weekend here at Michigan State University beginning tomorrow. Always an exciting, exciting, exciting time. I love homecoming weekend. I get to see some old faces that I haven't seen all year. And, you know, I love, you know, mixing it up with my fraternity brothers who I haven't seen in a while. So it's always going to be it's always a great time at homecoming. And, of course, things will kick off tomorrow night starting with the Michigan State Homecoming Parade, and you'll see familiar faces here at WKAR because we will be walking in the Homecoming Parade as we usually do every single year. And also, I want to pass this along to you guys. And, you know, first off, it's funny here. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can also weigh in courtesy of the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, where many of you are weighing in. And I love the back and forth because, you know, Ben has such a fandom for the Detroit Lions. He wears those Honolulu blue glasses loud and proud, and he believes the Lions, Alec, are going to win 24-17. And then Alex comments and says, have you seen KC this season? They will dominate this game. Be realistic. And then Ben counters with, doubt fuels us. And then Alex comments and says, this is the NFL, not college football.
Yeah, exactly.
Skills do more than power and will. And I totally agree with Alex there. Yeah, this is a different ball. It's just a different feel when you talk about professional football, folks, in the National Football League. So, yeah, there you have that. And also, you being a hockey guy, Alec, I think it's important also to pass along that the Detroit Red Wings, when it comes to Thursday's game against the Blues, St. Louis Blues, they will actually be playing that game in the UP, in the Upper Peninsula, which is, I believe it's in Calumet. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And they will be playing in the home that is the oldest continuous use indoor ice rink in the world, which I did not know that. It was built in 1913. It's a barrel-roofed, Calumet Coliseum, which seats only 700, which is a very intimate setting, but it was built in 1913. I'm looking at pictures right now of it online. Looks as though it's, you know, they painted it and really did done a great job at the upkeep of it. But have you ever heard of this place? The Calumet Coliseum out in Calumet, Michigan.
You know, actually, I have not. And I'm looking it up right now. The original intended seating was only for 700 fans when it was built in 1913.
Yeah, well, it still only seats 700.
Yeah. Yeah, which 700. Is crazy.
That's awesome stuff. That's going to be different. And that game will be broadcast right on FSD. They'll bring in the modern 2019 equipment into that venue and we'll broadcast that that game. I'm you know, I don't watch hockey like that unless the Wings are in the playoffs or it's like Stanley Cup playoffs and it's deep into things and you're looking at the Stanley Cup finals. I do tune in for that. But I'm curious to see how this will look on television. I want to see some more pictures of the Calumet Coliseum, which, as you mentioned, Alec, seats 700. So that's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff built in 1913. Okay, if you haven't heard, Michigan State football linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall, he has decided to enter his name into the NCAA transfer portal. I must admit, I did not see this coming, just like many of you out there. He redshirted in 2016. He has played in 30 career games at Michigan State, 31 tackles, including 6 for loss, 4.5 sacks. He forced 2 fumbles and recovered a pair of fumbles. So, you know, as I mentioned in the headliners, he is entering this week's game against Indiana on Saturday afternoon, listed as the number 2 Sam linebacker behind 5th-year senior Tyreek Thompson. But, you know, I really believe, Alec, that the transfer portal has changed the game a bit. You know, when it comes to college athletes who aren't happy for whatever reason with their current institution in which they play ball at, and they want out and they want to test the waters to see what other options there are out there. And for me, because I've heard this debate, it's like, well, is that really fair to the coach if you are allowing these young men and women during the college season to enter their names in the transfer portal? And I say, this is a question of fairness, really? When, you know, we talk about fairness when talking about college athletics, and we haven't been compensating these young men and women for the revenue that they bring into the university. They should be able to transfer at whatever point in the college season if they feel like, you know, this isn't the right place for them. You're not compensating them already, and now you want to dictate when and when they can't say, I'm out. I have no problem with this at all. Now, it's a bit surprising because, you know, it's not like, you know, Boyer Randall is a guy listed last on the Michigan State depth chart. I mean, he's right behind 5th-year senior, I might add, Tyreek Thompson. So, you know, heaven forbid anything happened to Tyreek. I mean, Boyer Randall could come right in and see if he can turn some heads a bit. But you just don't know with young men and women, and you don't know the circumstances behind why these individuals decide to put their names in the transfer portal. I'm sure there's more to it than we know. All right, that's almost guaranteed. We don't know these athletes on a personal basis like that. We don't know what's happening behind the curtain, all right? But I have absolutely no problem with it. But, you know, the transfer portal is really a game changer, though. And I've had this conversation with others in athletics collegiately here at Michigan State, and that's the discussion of the transfer rule itself. You know, when you transfer, you know, the rules state that you have to sit out a year. And I've always been an advocate, and this is, you know, I'm not breaking any news here when it comes to this take. I mean, many people have this take. Many people believe, and I'm in this party, that when a collegiate athlete decides to transfer, that athlete, if it's their first time doing so, they should be allowed to play immediately. Why not? We all make mistakes. Why not play immediately after that first transfer? After that, second, third, fourth, I don't know how many times after that, then you got to sit out a year. There has to be some consequence because then, yeah, it's not fair to the coach, I guess, right? It becomes a pattern, and maybe it's not the school you're choosing, maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror. So, but that first one you get a hall pass. I like that. But it's quite amazing, especially when you look at, to put in perspective just how much the transfer portal has changed the game in its infancy. 15 of the top 25 quarterbacks in college football in the 2016 recruiting class have transferred. 15 of the top 25 quarterbacks in the 2016 recruiting class have all said, I'm out, and chucked up the deuces. Those 15 include the names of Justin Fields to Ohio State. How about Tate Martell, who, you know, when that move was made, when Justin Fields decided to transfer to Ohio State, Tate Martell, who was on the Ohio State roster, said, oh, boy, well, Justin Fields is coming in here. And Justin Fields, by the way, has played pretty good for Ohio State throughout the course of the beginning of the year so far. Tate Martell was like, hold on, Justin Fields is coming in here? I already know what this is. I'm about to transfer from Ohio State to Miami now. So that's where Tate Martell is. How about Jacob Eason from Georgia to Washington? Jalen Hurts from Alabama to Oklahoma. Hurts is now there as a grad transfer. We all know that Tua Tagovailoa is the guy there for Nick Saban. Kelly Bryant from Clemson to Mizzou. And Alex Hornibrook, the former Wisconsin quarterback, he is headed down south to Florida State. It is quite amazing, you know, how many players we've seen move and go to different institutions. And I really do believe this transfer portal is a game changer. And I think that more and more you're going to start to see coaches just hover over that transfer portal just to see what kind of talent that they can accrue. Because a lot of big-time talent, and these are young kids we're talking about, so it's not a huge surprise. You're going to make mistakes when you're young. That includes sometimes the college that you decide to take your athletic talents to. But it really is a game changer. And for me, Alec, I have no problem with it. And honestly, it makes, from the fan perspective, it makes it pretty entertaining. Now, I know as a fan, you may feel a bit salty about some of these big-time names deciding to say to your respective institution that you root for on any given Saturday, you may feel some type of way if I don't know, Brian Lewerke said, I'm not feeling it here at Michigan State. I'm going to enter my name into the transfer portal. I get all that, but from the casual fan's perspective, if you have no loyalty to any of these teams that these talented young men are transferring from, it makes it quite compelling to see how they fare at a different institution. So from an entertainment perspective, kind of fun to watch, right?
Well, yeah, I'd agree. And another notable player that entered the transfer portal recently was Brandon Peters when he went from U of M to Illinois. And, you know, it's situations like the Tua and Jalen Hurts situation down in Alabama where I totally agree with the transfer portal concept because, you know, when you have two quarterbacks who are, you know, vying, you know, they're vying for that spot and you get, you know, one QB outshining the other, but the other one could do really well at another college, then I don't understand, like, what's so bad about that? Because, you know, you already have your guy in Tua, and, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, say if the transfer portal wasn't a thing, Jalen Hurts would be spending the rest of his college career in Alabama, you know? And, you know, most, or if not all, college players, they're just trying to get to the next step in the NFL.
Exactly.
That's their main goal, is to get to the next step. And, you know, if they're just sitting on the sidelines and not getting any action or getting any highlights to their reel, then why are they there?
Exactly.
Why are they there?
You nailed it. That's what it is. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Because these young men who come into to whatever institution that they decide to go to as four, especially the four and five star recruits, if they're not getting playing time, then that's hindering what they put on film to show to NFL scouts to possibly make their lifelong dream of playing professional football come true. And a few of our listeners have nailed it too on Facebook. Because, again, at the end of the day, you look at those numbers, you say, okay, just be patient. Just be patient, Brandon. But at the same time, patience in 2019 for this generation is out the window. And that's something I complain about multiple times here on the show. But that's just how it is, all right? So the mindset here, you have to kind of shift your mindset to try and think what they're thinking. And Ben comments and says he's putting up huge numbers. Now he wants to transfer. Those numbers aren't huge. Again, he's listed behind Tyreek Thompson. These kids, when they're big time players, they want to be the one. You know, they want to be Neo from the Matrix. They want to be the one. Alex counters and says, yeah, he wants to play. Go somewhere he can get some playing time. Blame the coaches that don't take the time to consider the players' needs. But, Alex, I counter with that and say, Tyreek Thompson has been pretty consistent for this team. At the end of the day, it's a business. You are going to put out the starting lineup that gives you the best chance to win every single week. And Tyreek Thompson has been playing pretty well for this team so far for Michigan State. So why disrupt that and say, all right, well, Brandon isn't happy. Let's throw him in as a starter this week. No, you don't do that. That's just stupid. So at the end of the day, if Brandon isn't feeling that, transfer. That's how it is. You know, and a part of me wants to say, man, I mean, gosh, this generation in 2019, deal with some adversity, man. You know, muscle through it. You're going to get your time. Patience is a virtue. But then you look at the corrupt system that is the NCAA, and I say, look, man, do what's best for you. I kind of feel that way as well. Do what is best for you. All right, Throwback Thursday real quick here, folks, as we close out this Thursday edition of Current Sports on this September 26th. Back in 1981, Nolan Ryan of the Houston Astros, he became the first player to pitch five no-hitters with a 5-0 victory over the L.A. Dodgers. On this day, kid you not, in both 1994 and 1995, so in exactly a year after September 26, 1994, which on that date, the double murder trial for O.J. Simpson began with a jury selection in L.A., On this same day in 1995, a year later, the prosecution began its closing argument of the murder trial of O.J. Simpson. And that was one of the most crazy moments of the 90s, right? Also, on this day back in 1998, Mark McGwire hit home runs 67 and 68 for the season. And on that same day, Dennis Eckersley of the Boston Red Sox appeared in his 1,071st game. We'll see you Friday, folks. It'll be a college football preview Friday. You don't want to miss it. Until then, have a great Thursday afternoon and evening. And be easy, people.